You're listening to Yes We Can, your favorite student-led podcast, bringing you voices for gender equity and inequality while inspiring youth to stand up for what they believe in. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Yes We Can podcast. I'm Josh, and I'm here with Emma and Olivia. And today we are talking about The 57 Bus by Dashka Slater.
Sure. Olivia and I had to read it for our English class, and we found it really, really interesting and surprisingly controversial.
Yeah.
So that's why.
And then they told me about it, and I was like, ooh, that sounds like tea, so I read it. and it was tea.
Yes.
And that's why we're here today, to spill it. So for those who have not read it, it follows the story of a hate crime that took place in Oakland in 2013, where Sasha, the victim, was asleep on the 57 bus and got their skirt set on fire and suffered third-degree burns on 22% of their body. And this book is just about the following story and the proceedings.
And many of the characters involved with the crime, including the one who actually lit the fire. His name was Richard. So,
from my perspective, Richard, the perpetrator, was always written in a strangely sympathetic light throughout most of the book. And while, you know, during the midsections, I thought it was like, I don't know, I wasn't sympathizing with him at all. But then towards the end, I started to. I still think that during the midsections, it was still a little bit too much, at least for me. You know, because, I mean, I'd like to hear your guys's before I dive deeper into my side. But.
Yeah. Definitely no criticism like towards Dashka. Obviously she had, you know, she knew what she was doing when she was writing this book, but I do think that the book went very heavily into Richard's feelings and Richard's life, whereas not so heavily into Sasha's. It was more, how Sasha identified and a couple of their friends, but then really went deep into Richard's personality and his thoughts and feelings and not so much Sasha's.
And I mean, I personally think it was, I do agree that there was, it heavily focused on Richard. But I also think it was tasteful, in my opinion, because a lot of the publicity about the event was obviously focused on the victim, which I'm not criticizing in the slightest. But I think we commonly lose the side of the perpetrator, and I'm not saying that he's should be sympathized with necessarily, but he is a minor. He was a kid. He made a terrible, terrible mistake, and he did something obviously horribly wrong. I think he does have other sides to him. I don't think he's purely villain, and I think it was interesting to read about someone that, you know, committed such a heinous crime, and you're still realizing that he's a well-rounded person. He's not just the crime that he committed.
Yeah, and do you have something else? Okay. But yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think it was really interesting to try to paint him as a full person. And I think she did succeed in giving enough background on him and then seeing, like, I was originally skeptical because she was painting him as like, oh, not this. I can't tell you how many times people were saying, oh, he's not a bad kid. And then my response was, but he did set someone on fire.
It's true.
But then, like, seeing in Juvie how he actually, like, did turn things around, and he was without incident ever, and to this day is not, as far as I know. So that was better. That made me sympathize with him a bit. But from my perspective on it was, he was 16 years old when he committed the crime. And I know, like, getting into the youth brain chemistry discussion, it's very tricky. But even then, like, you're 16 years old. When I was 16, I knew better not to light somebody on fire. So for, again, those who haven't read the book, when he is brought in question by the police, he says, and I don't remember if this is a direct quote or if I'm paraphrasing, but he says something along the lines of, I'm homophobic, I did it because I don't like gays. And, you know, as a gay man myself, I'm like, all right, well, put him in chains. Like, there we go. cut scene. But then later on, I don't know, it was just, And then they tried to play the card where it's like, oh, he doesn't even know how to spell the word homophobic. How could he be?
The quote is, I wouldn't say that I hate gay people, but I'm very homophobic. And then the cop asks, why would you call yourself homophobic? And he says, I don't have no problem with somebody if they like men, but like if you do too much, nobody cares really. And they continue on for a while, and at one point he does, I think he mentioned stronger feelings towards gay people in general, actually. But he contradicts himself a lot in the discussion. Which made me feel like he wasn't really aware of what he was saying, especially because he's, obviously not excusing what he did, but he was in a really high-stress situation, being in a police station, being questioned without an adult present, and I think he was trying to defend himself, but not trying to defend himself, and it was just, he was so confused, as anyone would be in that situation, I think that explains some of why he said what he said. And also, later in the book, it just says, I think he literally confused the term homophobic with straight.
Well, okay.
Well, that's debatable. But.
I have thoughts and feelings about this part.
Yes.
Because, this takes place in Oakland, California.
Right.
The city in which I live. And I find it very, very difficult to believe that in 2013 you don't know the definition of the word homophobia. I know that there are people like in the city and stuff like that aren't like woke in air quotes. but like even then, like this is such a commonly thrown around word nowadays. And even like this was only 5-6 years ago. So even then it was not like uncommon to hear that word. And I struggle to imagine him not knowing what that word meant and confusing it with being heterosexual. So, and, I've watched enough true crime television to know that lawyers will sometimes throw things around like that. So there's that part. But then there's also the part where even if this was not a hate crime, regardless of that fact, if you are dumb enough to light someone on fire and not expect them to catch on fire. Because he said, we haven't mentioned this part, but his defense was he was just joking around and he was going to light their skirt on fire thinking that it would just like spark a little bit and wake them up and then he'd like laugh and leave instead of like Sasha being engulfed in a fireball. Now, if you are lighting someone on fire without the intent of lighting them on fire, then I don't really know. Like, maybe you should be locked up because there's clearly something wrong.
Yeah, there was definitely an error in judgment, not only in obviously lighting someone on fire, but there was no thought process as to what might happen afterwards. Like, I'll light this person on fire and then they'll be on fire and then they'll get burned from the fire and then I'll go to jail because of the fire. There was no progression of thought as to after I spark this flame, and that is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I think, yes, I wouldn't go as far as to say that he has something wrong, so he should be in jail. I think he does have some issues to be lighting someone on fire. But I think he's also a teenager that has not...
Yeah.
That is not thinking properly, and it was expressed that he was kind of someone that liked to make people laugh, and he was somebody that was really all about the attention and trying to make everybody happy around him. And obviously he did not make Sasha happy, giving them second and third degree burns. But I think part of his intentions were pretty innocent, just in the fact that he was thinking, I'm going to light this flame, it's not going to do much, and I'm going to get a good laugh from it. And his friend handed him the lighter. So if I don't do this, then my masculinity is going to be threatened because I wasn't brave enough to pull the prank or whatever. So, I think there were a lot of factors in his decision to
actually pull. Yeah, because it's like I'm gay. I take it upon myself to try to understand masculinity and why hate crimes happen, especially to queer people. And like, there's a reason why trans women of color are the biggest victims of hate crimes, at least in the modern day. And it's because, like, queer people are seen as an affront to traditional masculinity. And being trans or agender, or, you know, like being seen as male and wearing a skirt, is seen as the ultimate form or ultimate transgression against masculinity. And to a lot of people, their first instinct is to try to, quote unquote, correct that behavior. And it's very unfortunate, but even if Richard was not aware of that fact motivating his actions, I do believe that that was somewhere in there.
I would probably agree.
Yeah.
That's probably contributed to a feeling of just general discomfort.
Like, look at this, like, Sasha. Weird, like, look at this dude in a dress. Sasha's agender, but, you know, speaking from Richard's perspective, look at this guy in a dress.
Right.
That's weird. Let's play a prank on them. And then the prank ended up being a ball of fire. So, as hate crimes go, I would still technically classify it as a hate crime because he did say, I'm homophobic. Like, you did say that to a cop. I'm sorry, but, like, you said that word to a cop when asked why you did it. So, I feel like in that situation, like, you did say those words. It wasn't, like, a lynching or some crap like that. Like, it wasn't a purely hate-motivated crime. I do think that he was trying to just play a joke or something and it went wrong.
I do agree with that. I think it was more subconsciously hateful than it was overtly, because yes, he did say I'm homophobic, and whether or not he knows what that word means is to be determined. I don't know. But he definitely, you don't see someone on a bus and decide to light them on fire unless you think that there's something wrong with that person or you think that they are less than you, because you have to feel some sort of disgust or repulsion or some sort of feeling that they are less than you to be able to commit such an act. So he definitely, in my opinion, he felt some sort of, seeing someone who appears to you as a man dressed in a skirt and you feel some sort of revulsion towards that, that is either transphobia or homophobia, but it's something,
whatever phobia,
some sort of phobia. And that was definitely present in Richard for him to be able to do what he did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I would agree on that front. I don't think it was a conscious decision of, yes, Sasha looks like they could be trans, which is why I'm going to light them on fire. I think it was definitely more subconscious. And I think it did make him uncomfortable to see someone who appeared to be a man dressed in a skirt, which is so far from what I myself would do or what my friends would do, that I think it's hard to imagine.
I think everyone, like, at the time was extremely appalled by this crime because, like, you know, it was 2013 in the Bay Area. You know, you can go to San Francisco and that's like every other person in San Francisco.
Right.
Like,
I do think he may not have been as exposed to the LGBTQ community as he probably should have, which definitely contributed to his discomfort. And yes, he has a gay or trans uncle. I can't remember.
I think just gay. I think Regis was just gay.
Okay.
Gay.
A gay
very
uncle.
Effeminate, but gay.
Okay. And he says at one point that he has friends and he has friends that are part of the LGBTQ community, which, I'm sorry, that defense is ridiculous in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't think that he fully understood, there's no way he could have understood that community if he lit someone on fire. I basically what I'm trying to say is I think it was a subconscious decision.
I don't think he
would have made it in a conscious mind. He was not somebody going out there looking to, you know, cause harm to someone. I think he was genuinely trying to get a laugh, and it was an underlying motivator was a discomfort when seeing someone that was part of the trans community. So
I think a big part of Richard is it wasn't hateful. I don't think he's a hateful person, and I don't think he's a really aggressive person either. I think he was just ignorant. I think
most, this is a crime of ignorance.
It wasn't a crime of hatred, or, you know, maybe it was a hate crime, maybe it shouldn't have been classified as a hate crime, but his actions, I think, were motivated by ignorance and by confusion and by just teenage stupidity. I think it wasn't really, whether or not it was caused by transphobia or homophobia, it wasn't a conscious causation. It was more just he didn't understand, and that scared him.
I mean, and to that point, do you agree with his, he was charged as an adult and with a hate crime clause. Do you guys agree with that? Do you think that was a just decision, or?
Sure. I don't know much about the judiciary system. I really don't, but I don't think he should have been tried as an adult.
For a while, I was really on the fence. Like, I was kind of on the side of, like, yes, you should be charged as an adult, you should know better. But then, like, again, since finishing the book, and, you know, this is why we didn't record this a week ago, because I was only halfway through. By the end of the book, you do kind of see that in juvie, he has never had disciplinary action taken against him. He's not violent at all. And he seems to have, like, reformed a lot, and he's, like, thriving in the system right now, as far as I can tell.
Right, a structured system.
Yeah, a structured system. Really, like, it's been extremely beneficial. So at the time, I thought, oh yeah, he should be, you know, charged as an adult. But now I'm not really so sure. I do now think that it was just a crime of ignorance. And it is, I don't know, because it's really tricky. Because, like, part of me is like, yeah, he was stupid. And, you know, he should know better now, and I would hope that when he is released, he will know better, and he will proceed, and, like, you know, hopefully this really turns him around, and then he, like, tries to educate other people so this doesn't happen again.
For sure.
From the narrative, you know, portrayed in the book, I could maybe see that, but we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, maybe not. I don't really know. But then again, there is the other side of that where you did literally set someone on fire. So it's like...
Right, and they were in the hospital for months or weeks.
I think it was
close to a month or something.
Yeah,
like
almost
that.
A month.
Right, and I mean, a burn injury is, like, one of the most painful injuries you could possibly put someone through.
So
I think that's also partly why Dashka's writing was so interesting, because you go into the book... I mean, her blurb describes the whole event, basically. And we went into the book having already read an article about the event. And
I forgot to get.
Yes.
Oh, well.
But
it's fine. It's not important.
I mean, we all were pretty much unilaterally decided that I cannot believe someone would light someone else on fire. That sounds despicable. That is a hate crime. That is...
You know, lock them up, throw away the key.
Exactly.
No. There's no in-between.
And then by the end, like you've heard from most of us, we're all so on the fence.
And
I mean, you go back and forth between, they were on fire, and he was also a teenager, and there was peer pressure involved, and...
A little bit stupid.
And pretty stupid, and had ADHD problems, and I mean, it's just, it's a really controversial book, which I think is why we wanted to discuss it, because not only does it have the undertones of the LGBTQ community, but it's just a fascinating topic, and you should definitely look into the event and the book for sure if you haven't already read it.
I think
absolutely.
I think really just the whole discussion of should he have been tried as an adult, should he not have been, I think that was the whole purpose of the book, honestly, just diving so deeply into Richard's character. It made him seem more of a person and not a criminal. Because, like, going into the book, you hear about the event, and you're like, oh, he's an awful person. No person who is in their right mind would ever do something like that. And then learning about him as who he is and what the circumstances were and how he is in juvie after the event, it makes you think, I mean, there's such a system of criminalizing people just in our society and not giving them a chance to reform and get better. There's just like, oh, you did this bad thing, you're done, you're over, you're, we can't fix you. And I think the book was really trying to combat that in saying, but here he is as a person, that one act doesn't define him.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
And I think that it really calls into the question the narrative that especially the media plays in our society. I mean, it's like Olivia said, it goes so quick to criminalizing people, and just, it's very black and white, a lot of the time. And I'm sorry, also media coverage, by the way, red alert, they portrayed Sasha as a man wearing a kilt.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
that whole
get the information before you're broadcasting it. Just want to say that.
Yeah, I'm reading a completely unrelated, but I'm reading a book about, like, a true crime, a serial killer that was in the 20s. That's not what this episode is about at all. but the media has always been like that.
Yeah.
In this other book, Deranged by Harold Schechter, read it. It's good. it's about the disappearance of this little girl. And like 6 years later, somebody had taken a picture of this random like teenage girl with like a group of her friends. And then somebody in the media got a hold of that. And they're like, is this the missing girl? And then it was like everywhere. Wow. And then it turned out that, no, it obviously wasn't. This is just a girl that happened to have brown hair and blue eyes. But, like, it set everyone into a craze. So right. the media is just like that.
Yes. Like, it's flawed, for sure.
People massively.
So quick to right. just broadcast the first piece of information they find without bothering to fact check it or make sure that it's from a reliable source.
Which... Right. And then they leave out huge details. Like the people that helped Sasha when they were on the bus. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were two random civilians that were on the bus too, and they actually put out their fire. But I think, yeah, they like to focus on how it was definitely triggered by hatred and how could someone do this? And I mean, I understand that reaction. It's not every day that someone lights someone else on fire, especially in the Bay Area, and it happens to be someone from the queer community. Yeah, that's raising some red flags. And some people probably still feel that way even after reading the book, which gives a, you know,
I was sure I would still feel that way, but I'm actually kind of shocked how I turned a little bit. Like,
right?
I was ready to get the mob.
Like, yes, you were. I told you about the book. You hadn't even read it, and you were ready to fight.
Like, I was ready. I was, yeah. Ooh.
Yes. Which shows how powerful perspective can be, and like when you read something, because if this book was written entirely from Sasha's perspective and criminalized Richard completely and didn't go anything into his personality at all, no one's feelings about the event, I assume, would change.
Right. You know, it would be if anything it would worsen.
It would make them worse. But then showing Richard's point of view, it really does.
It puts you on the fence, and it makes you question things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and even if you don't come away thinking anything different, I think it just. In general, it just brings up the idea of, is someone completely flawed or is someone human? I mean, and I'm not saying that this is human to light people on fire, everybody, not saying that. But I just think, you know, categorizing one person as completely a villain or completely an angel is obviously unrealistic, which we all know. But I think this was just an interesting look into that, specifically because it was a real event that happened so close to home. So
yeah, and in the case of trying someone as a juvenile versus an adult, like, at what age, at what point do we decide that someone is beyond fixing, beyond healing them and making and helping them reform?
Right. Yeah.
That's actually why I'm pretty satisfied with what the years that he spent in jail, because, I mean, he lessened his sentence from 7 years to 5 years, and it seems like he turned some of it around, I'm hoping. But I think they gave him a chance because he didn't go to an adult prison. And I think he has a chance at being a better person now, obviously. And if they had sent him straight to, you know, a penitentiary where he had no chance of getting out there without being scarred. So
yeah, the prison system in general is just needs massive
fixing,
reform.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a uncle who's been in and out of prison my entire life, and every time he gets out, it's kind of just like he was on vacation for a couple months because he has no skills.
Right.
Like, he's never been to college. He barely graduated high school. And, you know, he goes in, he sits in a cell for however long they keep him, and then he's let out.
Right.
And then he goes right back to what he was doing because he literally...
He doesn't know any better. Right. I mean, he gets free meals and a bed for a little while. I'm not saying prison's great, obviously, but then when you're dropped right back on your, Especially after having nothing.
Yeah, so. Especially if you go right out of high school or in high school, if you're put in jail as a youth, you don't ever get a chance to learn any other way. And you just go right back into that life as soon as you get out.
And he's like, right. And he's like 40 something now. But even then, I'd be like, because if he was trained, if while in this like contained and controlled environment, if he was educated and taught how to be a mechanic or a plumber or something like that, then he would come out and he'd have like a license or whatever the hell you need to become a plumber. he would be able to just start being a plumber and then he'd be fine because he wouldn't need to be around these people. He'd be employed.
Right. He'd have another trail, another path. Yeah. So, I would agree. I mean, America's, the U.S. has the highest incarceration rate of any country around the world.
It's just disproportionately people of color, too.
That's a horse.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
But. Could spend another hour talking about that.
There's a documentary on Netflix. It's about like the amendment that like got rid of slavery, but said like, oh yeah, but people that are in prison.
Yeah.
And then it's very good. Anyone listening, watch that. It's good. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
And I've been Josh, and will continue to be Josh.
And I'm Emma
and Olivia,
and we hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Yeah.